feeling a lot of pressure at the moment because all of the sermons from Sinai Temple are on our website. And my assistant looked to see how many hits the sermons got, and they got an incredible number of hits, over a couple million of them. And she looked to rank which sermon got the most hits, and the one that got the most hits was last year's Valentine's Day Friday Night Live sermon. Even above the one where I talked about our screwed up attitudes towards money, which tells you. And so I tried to figure out what I was going to talk about this year, since I basically said everything I have to say last year, and I turned to where you always turn when you need fresh wisdom, which is the late lamented TV show Taxi. Where I learned, I think, a crucial lesson about love that all of you will acknowledge the truth of. It's when Louis, Danny DeVito, is breaking up with Rhea Perlman, who's actually his real-life wife. And she's about to leave, and he says, "Don't you want to know what love is?" And she says, "No, I'm through with you. I'm leaving." He says, "If you walk out that door, you will never know what love really is." So who can resist that? She says, "Okay, what's love?" He says, "Love is the end of happiness." He says, "One day, you're perfectly happy to stay home and watch the Yankees. The next day, you're home watching the Yankees and you're miserable because she's not there." The end of happiness. He's really just echoing the wisdom of Rebecca West, the great writer, who had a very stormy and tempestuous relationship with H.G. Wells. And she summarized it all this way. She said, "The difference between men and women is men are lunatics and women are idiots. We're both crazy, just in different ways. And therefore, love is the end of happiness." Thank you and good night. No, I'm... And this is my theory that I'm going to get killed for, but I will say it nonetheless, about why it is that women are better than this at men, than men. Vast generalization. I don't want to say all women and all men. I'm only talking about 99.9%. Because invariably, love involves hurt. Invariably. And not just one hurt, but multiple, continuous, slight and big hurts. And women, who, by the way, go through childbirth, can take more pain and are willing to take more pain than are men. And make the transmuting of that pain into love the central mission of many lives. Whereas for men, that's not the case. Often, by and large, I've had, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of couples in my office. I have yet to meet a man who said to me, "I've always dreamed of my wedding day." Just, "I'm sure I will." Hasn't happened yet. The flowers, I haven't. Because his dreams are split. And because the infliction of pain, the acceptance of pain, the vulnerability to pain, the certainty of pain, is absolutely indispensable to being able to fall in love. And if you are scared, really scared, then you are closed. And it's over. And therefore, there is, when we talk about love, this genuine pain that all too often gets elided, gets skipped, doesn't get mentioned in romantic movies and beautiful depictions. where we always know that the pain of love is just a prelude to the happy ending. But the happy ending has pain in it too. As there is no life unaccompanied by difficulty, there is no love unaccompanied by loss and by sorrow and by struggle and by pain. So what do you do? What you do is you recognize, first of all, that pain is one of the ways you know you are alive. That's what it means to have pain. Is you feel something, you're aware of something, and you know that pain is only a part of it. The deeper than that, the undercurrent of that, is the connection. And that's why a Hasidic rabbi of the 18th century said that he learned what love was from two peasants who were sitting in a bar. And one of them said to the other, "Do you know what hurts me?" And the other one said, "No, how could I know what hurts you?" And the first one stopped for a second and said, "Well, if you don't know what hurts me, how can you say you love me?" And he said that he recognized that it wasn't only the willingness to endure pain, but the knowledge of what pains the other that causes love, that embraces love, that is a part of it. And I know that we could make the talk tonight about flowers and about wonder and about romance and about connection, and that would all be true, but it would be partial. And partial truths are partial falsehoods. Love is much more complicated and demanding and real than flowers and hearts and songs alone. To love God is a demanding and difficult thing, not an easy thing, and not always uplifting. To love another human being is the same. It's difficult and beautiful and complicated and wondrous and intoxicating and diverting and painful and in some ways what we were made for and what we do at our best. Love is a living thing. It grows, it waxes, it wanes, it lives, it dies. We are all adults. Fantasies alone are not enough to live on. If you want to be in love, then you have to be willing to be hurt. If you want to be in love, you have to be willing, and sometimes this is even harder, to know that you will inflict hurt. If you want to be in love, you have to take your soul seriously and take that other soul seriously. Ultimately, of course, it is what endures in this world. That is, the love of one human being for another. Hazak Hamavet, says the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon in the Bible, love is as strong as death. It binds us to one another not only in this world, but even after we leave this world. What a shameful shortchanging of ourselves it is if we don't fall in love because we're too afraid of the pain. So I wish you a year filled with difficulty, with hurt, with sorrow, with song, with love. Shabbat Shalom.